Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is good. You're really going to like this, especially you business owners out there. I've asked a specialist to come on and talk with us about preparing your business to, as you transition from business into doing something else, selling your business and what needs to be done. Her name is Carrie Sauls. She's an exit strategist, an author, speaker, and radio host. She has her own radio program, which is very cool whenever I talk to somebody else that does radio. Exit This Way on UR Business Network. She's written over 300 articles. I love that. 4 ebooks and 2 white papers. She attended Bates College and Boston University and holds an MBA in business. And her name is Carrie Sauls. Welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me, Dave.
It's my pleasure. I started to talk to Carrie a little bit, ladies and gentlemen, before that we started. I was like, okay, so tell me a little bit about what you do. And so I love your response in terms of the role you take and the thing that you are about. So share that with our listeners about the kind of the preparation for the transition.
That's just it, David. People are all focused on the transaction, and yet they're shortchanging themselves when they get there because they're not preparing themselves, the business, the team, or anyone else in their family for what comes next so that they can maximize the value in their business before they get to that transaction, and therefore they're better prepared for what comes next and they have more choices of what their reinvention could be. It's all about that planning and strategizing that takes years, not just 6 months.
So well spoken. That's perfect because, you know, it's, and I love your website. Let me give that out to our listeners, thiswayoutgroup.com. And when I looked at it, it kind of reminded me of like a street sign. I said to myself, you know, that really is a good metaphor because people need to be guided on how to make this transition. And it's an outstanding analogy because selling a business and making that transition, as you well know, Carrie, is not something you do or should not do if you want the best result by, you know, slamming on the brakes and yanking the wheel to make your exit.
That's a critical piece that if you try to do that, yes, people do, and they do it all the time.
And they get off the highway, but they cut everybody else off, and they don't get the best result.
Well, they're leaving 30 to 50% of the value of their business on the table.
Wow.
And from where I come from, that's totally preventable, but it takes the pre-planning. It takes setting up the business so everyone else can see that it's worth what you know in your heart it's truly worth.
Well, maybe that's partly because of the reason people sell businesses. Maybe they unfortunately wait till, you know, an accident or their health declines or something changes in the business or there's new regulation or something's hurting their business or something else happens. A partner wants to exit and then you're forced to. You really hit it on the head, Carrie, with the point being that you need to plan ahead and not have this be something that, okay, let me hire a business broker and they'll sell it and you know, away you go. But you actually are working toward this, looking ahead and planning this out way really into the future.
Planning it out into the future. And in fact, as I say in my show, it's never too early or too late to plan your exit because ideally you set up at least your preferred exit option in your business plan before you even opened your doors.
How about that? So even before you've opened your door and started doing business, you know what you want to do in terms of selling your business. That's very interesting, Carrie. I think the thing that people sometimes, or they may not realize this, and I'd love for you to talk a little bit about this, is if people position their business to be sold someday, means that they need to have a role that they take in that business where they can be pulled out at some point and become literally somebody who is sold to somebody else. They're not going with the business per se. Now, sometimes that happens, but if they position their business so it can, at some point where they can move into a pure investor owner standpoint, they know then that they've gotten that business to the point where they are getting a lot more value than if they all of a sudden have to figure out how to pull themselves out and extract themselves with a sale.
You're really hitting what I consider to be one of the biggest problems for private business owners across the country. And that is that they have been so consumed with being that chief operating officer involved in all of the day-to-day activity and decisions that the business is still dependent on them and the value is still in them instead of in the business. And part of my job is helping them to transition to delegating all of that responsibility and expertise, whether it's to one person or across a team of people in their business, so they become the strategic CEO that is there as an advisor and mentor to the business so they can prove to potential buyers, to acquirers, that there really is this value that I told you there was in my business, mm-hmm. and you can see it in the business. And even when I take a 3-week vacation, the business still can move forward achieving our goals and objectives. But it's exactly that challenge that you just pointed out, David, that difference between being consumed in the COO role versus becoming the CEO.
You got it. Carrie Saul is our guest today, ladies and gentlemen. Exit strategist, author, speaker, radio host. The website, thiswayoutgroup.com. Carrie, we're going to take a short break. We'll come right back, and I want to flip this around a little bit. So stay right there. We'll be right back.
What's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With careful planning, you can make it happen. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. At Holland Financial, we want to help you take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. That number again is 888-747-7526.
We're back, ladies and gentlemen. Carrie Sauls is our guest, and she is in the Boston area, right, Carrie?
In the freezing cold winter of Boston. Yes,
yes,
I am.
Yes, yes. Ooh, brr. Well, Carrie is an exit strategist and an author, speaker, radio host. ThisWayOutGroup.com is the website, ThisWayOutGroup.com. I want to kind of twist it around a little bit, Carrie. So here's another thing to think about for the business owners out there who are listening to think about is not only in positioning their business to where they take this more of a consulting role and they're not the chief answer officer for every single thing that happens in the business, that they take a little bit more of this consulting role and they, you know, obviously they can't do it day one perhaps, but as they build the business and groom people and build people and have people, you know, hopefully be there long term and they get people in the positions to where they're not responsible for everything. The other part about that, and I'd love for your take on this, is I think of it from my standpoint being a financial planner. I owe it to my clients that be the case, that I not be everything. Because if I'm everything, then what happens to them if something happens to me?
That's exactly right. And that's why you do need the team involved. But you also, and this is part of what I work with clients on, and I tell them about it in the book, Harvest Your Wealth, is if you owe it to your clients, your employees, to the business itself, to have contingency plans, continuity plans, a succession plan, a transition plan in place. Now, they don't have to be cast in stone just to open the doors of the business, but they need to be evolved and fleshed out as part of all of your strategic planning every year, so that by the time you're starting to think about what are my exit options, what do I want to be doing next in my reinvention, that it's not all in your head. That all of this has been documented, that you mm-hmm. have an operations manual that proves the value of the business is self-sufficient without you, that you could, God forbid, end up in the hospital for 3 weeks, or you actually get to take your spouse to Europe for 3 weeks and you don't need to be attached to your cell phone to keep the business running.
Yeah, I'll take that option instead of the hospital bed for 3 weeks. Well, you know, but that it's really the point is if you're going to sell a business for something, if you're going to sell a business for its full potential value, then the business has to be something that can be sold without you being involved ongoing. Now, there's a transition period. We, of course, understand that. But in other words, what's your role in the company should be something that can be hired. In fact, if a business owner's not paying themselves, or they need to think about that because that's a real good way of getting a measure of your value. I take a paycheck like every one of the employees in my office because I want to know what that costs for the role I take.
I have a paper that I keep handing out to clients. I wrote this almost 10 years ago, and it's the four hats of a business owner. And most business owners are wearing the first one because they were the technician who started the business. They came up with this idea. And then they do wear, to some extent, whether it's good or bad, but they still wear the role of being the manager, of being the boss. But the roles that they don't pay themselves for ever are being the owner or being the investor who launched this business.
Exactly.
And all of those pieces need to be bundled together so that you recognize where the value is and who deserves the rewards of building that value.
Well, I know, listen, you're exactly right, Carrie. And I know business owners out there, they're listening going, well, but you know, we're just getting by, or, you know, the economy, or we're having to do this. And we understand that. And that's part of where we are with the country and, you know, businesses trying to rebuild. But as you rebuild, you want to be thinking like this because you need to put a value, put a value on what you do. And if you had to replace what you're doing, if I needed to hire somebody to do my job, or jobs, then I need to know that because That's part of building the business.
And that's where it takes a different mindset, because we all go into business and we want to build an income stream. We want to then cover payroll. But what we need to do to really make the business grow exponentially, to secure the future of the business and the future of that owner who built it, is to flip it around to make that business a wealth-producing machine. And you don't do that overnight. You do it along with your growth path and your other goals and objectives that are laid out for 1 year, 3 year, 5 years, so that indeed it's a wealth-producing machine long before you're thinking about what are my exit choices, how and when can I get out.
That's excellent, Carrie, because if you don't do that and you get, you know, you get down to the quote-unquote the your exit, if you will, and you're forced to do something, or, you know, you say, okay, all right, I'm... Somebody says to themselves, okay, I just can't do it anymore, or I'm at the point where I have to, they've saved their marriage, or whatever the case may be, it's something that pops up on them. It's a lot of hurry up and sell, and I'm sure you could tell us stories of people that do that, and it's just such a mess, and it's stressful, and they're not going to get anywhere near what they would, and it's very disruptive for the staff. It's just, and for customers, it's all bad.
It's all bad, and where they really end up so emotionally distraught is that they're leaving 30 to 50% of what they know the value is on the table. And because they're trying to do it fast, they can't get more value. There's just no way that the financials can back them up. The due diligence will allow for it. They're penalizing themselves in the long run because they wait so long to get started with all of this planning. There's no way to pretty it up so that they can tell them, but you can see what we did. Any excuse you want to give is not in the operations manual, it's not in the numbers, it's not in the forecast, so they're not going to pay you for it. And yet, if you start a little bit earlier and track all of this and document all of it, it becomes self-evident, and your buyers are going to come knocking at the door at your price point.
How about that? Well, that's what I think all business owners should look for. Carrie Sauls is our guest. Carrie is an exit strategist, author, speaker, radio host, and the website is thiswayoutgroup.com. Short break, Carrie, and we'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
And welcome back. Carrie Sauls is with us. She is an exit strategist. I love that, Carrie. That's a great way to look at it, because I think a lot of business owners just don't look at this being a process. And you talk a lot about this in your book, Harvest Your Wealth, Exit Essentials for Your Business.
Exactly. It's the whole point that there is a process, there's steps that you can go through to achieve everything you want in your business and beyond. But if you deny, procrastinate, and postpone going through that process, you're only shortchanging you.
You know, Carrie, one of the things that I do, I'll reveal the secret about David's personality to our listeners, is that one of the things I do every single day, and I have it in my head when I get up, is that when I'm at my desk and I'm working, or I go into a meeting, every day I remind myself, whenever I pick something up, or I look at something, or I think about something, I ask myself first this question: am I the only one that can do it, and do I have to do it myself, or is there someone else in my office that can do this, and then they can do the work, and then I can review it, or I can ask them to do it? And very often, the answer is yes, there is somebody, but I have to ask the question.
And that should be the question you ask. You're absolutely right. For every paper, every action, every to-do on your list, that should be the question asked first before you take it on and own it.
My employees know if I've been to the office early or over the weekend, because they all have little gift packages waiting for them on their desk of things that I've cleared off my desk and say, would you please help me with this?
That's great for you, because it means you can then go on to do what you do best, and they can do what you've hired them to excel at and do best for you.
Well, thank you. And I think business owners have a hard time letting go of the things that they like to do. There are things in my office that I actually enjoy doing, but I don't do it, because it doesn't make sense. It's not my highest, best use. I know what my clients and my people need from me, and they don't want me doing, they should not want me doing certain things.
That's exactly right. and in harvest your wealth, that's part of, that's one of the set of exercises that I have people going through to identify what you can delegate, outsource, and automate so that you free up time and increase everyone's productivity so you do stay focused on what your highest, best use is.
And, you know, I'll speak to those business owners out there because I'm one of them. I know exactly what, sometimes it's a bit indulgent. We just like to do it, and so we're indulging ourselves. I work hard, doggone it. I get to pick what I want to work on. That's part of it. And the other part is procrastination on something maybe that I don't really want to do, but if I do one of these other things that I can do and I like doing it, I'm not going to do the other thing. And that other thing that I might need to do is something that might be really important for my business.
Especially for the long-term growth and prosperity of the business. That's where you're getting into what's important versus what's critical, and you want to get the critical off your desk so that you can stay focused on the important, which is more strategic, and also is going to make you more money.
Well, and I think that's really the key, Carrie, as I think all of this is, it's not a zero-sum game, as they say. It is customers, employees, my own personal finances. All of those things are aligned on one side. It's not if they win, you lose kind of thing. All of those stakeholders, if you will, all benefit from this advanced exit strategy planning that business owners should really be doing.
And it's not just the team that you have for employees. It's also the entire team of experts that you surround yourself with as your exit advisors to give you the best advice for what your objective is, not for today, but for the long-term outcome of the business and what you want to pursue beyond the business. Because reinvention isn't just retiring to a rocking chair. It's all about the next venture or the adventure that you want to move to Panama or travel by ship for a year. Or maybe it's to focus on your avocation or indeed a hobby or some philanthropy. There's so much else we want to do beyond the business that we're in today that we need to be able to prepare for and plan for.
That's a great way to look at it, because it may be that a business owner says, okay, I want to close this chapter, so to speak, of the book, but I want to open up the next one. And maybe it's an offshoot. Maybe it's training and consulting and helping others. You know, if I ever decided I didn't want to do what I do anymore and be a planner, got to that point, then maybe I would train other planners or advisors. So that's a good example. So it's not just a transaction. It's also thinking about what you're going to do next as well, right?
It's imperative that you do both in parallel, because those business owners who get out of their business and say, okay, I've got the rest of my life to do X, Y, and Z. I'm going to learn French. I'm going to learn to cook. I'm going to learn to sail. Within 6 months, they're bored to tears because they've already done all of that. And at the same time, if they don't have a flushed-out plan, just like a business plan,
yep,
for their future, what AARP has told us is that business owners specifically end up in a massive clinical depression within 18 months.
That's terrible. Yeah, you want to avoid that, you better plan ahead, because they're so used to being, and it's also, every one of us wants to be important, and they go from that role of such a high importance that they're affecting not only their employees and their customers' lives, but just being engaged to being kind of in their own minds, probably, and they don't mean anything anymore to other people.
And that's why you need this other plan. Your transition plan needs to be spelled out long before you get to that transaction table and finally have that pot of gold that you've been dreaming about since you opened the doors of your business. You need to have a plan of what that's supposed to do and where you're going next, and it needs to be something that pulls you forward instead of reluctantly letting go of your business.
Excellent. Our guest today, ladies and gentlemen, is Carrie Sauls. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back.
Sometimes I know what I want to say, but just can't find the words.
Last week, I shouted at my grandson, and I'm not sure why.
I saw my daughter, but couldn't remember her name.
The sooner you recognize the warning signs of Alzheimer's disease, the sooner you can do something about it. To learn more, go to alz.org/10signs. That's alz.org/10signs. A message from the Alzheimer's Association.
If you're just joining us, you missed a great interview so far with Carrie Sauls, our guest today, exit strategist, author, speaker, radio host, and the website is thiswayoutgroup.com and the book, Harvest Your Wealth, Exit Essentials for Your Business. Carrie, I've got another twist on this I want to ask you, and that is, and it's kind of a loaded question, I think I know the answer, but a lot of what we talked about is preparing your business for sale. Is it also the same things that you would want to do to, if you were going to turn the business over to the employees or even bring family in I've got three kids, and there's a good chance one of them might be interested in being in my business. Is it the same thing? Are you still doing the same sorts of preparation?
It's all the exact same preparations, because you're trying to maximize the value of the business and accelerate sales so that you have the growth projections to give you that valuation you're looking for. And all of the exit options are available to you if you start early. And then they get winnowed down by your preferences and other circumstances. But you want to start early so you have that wide range of choices. And therefore, if you were considering bringing in the next generation, that they get groomed and prepared. And do they want to be part of the business, or do they not want to ever be part of the business? You can't make those assumptions and be sure that they're going to succeed. So there's many different variables that come in and more options available when you start early.
I like that because, you know, I see that I have an 11 through 8-year-old. And so if the youngest, the 8-year-old, wanted to be in the business, well, maybe she does, maybe she doesn't, but I prepare either way. And it seems to me it's a similar path you're on.
It is a similar path, because that would simply be somebody that's in the family that you are grooming as a successor, instead of hiring in your successor that you wanted to have replace you and perpetuate the business. But then you also can be exploring an ESOP or a management buyout or an acquisition, or there's so many options available that people don't hear about because they wait until the last 6 months and then tell somebody, get me out, sell this business for me. And that person, whether it's an investment banker, an M&A advisor, or a business broker, they're going to be saying, well, if you want to get out in this time frame and this is where you're at, and this is what you have done or have not done in terms of being prepared for the exit or going through valuation, these are the options that we can go after. And it's usually down to, at the most, two or three, rather than having, in Harvest Your Wealth, I have a table that's 4 pages long.
Wow.
Of different exit options that are possible, but only if you start considering them early enough.
Now, the book is available on your website. You can download it, or you it'll be mailed to you. Is it in print? Is it an ebook?
Right now, it's available as a hard copy book at Amazon.
Oh, wonderful, wonderful. Well, I'm excited about it myself. For all my listeners, I have no plans to sell, but I love the thinking, and I love the idea of the fact that the maximizing the value and the efficiency and the strength of the business for everybody involved, especially the customers, is right in line with preparing that business so that if I did want to do something down the road, then I'm ready.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, David. But from your perspective, for your clients, it's in their best interest if they work with you and with an exit strategist concurrently, very, very early, even if they don't have all the funding for the vehicles they want you to set up, that you can set them up early so that they're in a much better position when they cash out to actually fund those vehicles for what they want, with them already having a history and minimizing the tax burden, so they walk away with more.
Well, you got it right, Carrie, and we'll have to spend more time talking about this another day, because we've talked ourselves out of time. Carrie Sauls has been our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Carrie, the book, again, is Harvest Your Wealth, Exit Essentials for Your Business. Carrie, thank you so much for being on the program with us.
It's been my pleasure, David. It's great to be here.
Thank you very much.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland, and keep up with Scott Connor by following us on Twitter at Real Money Radio.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.